I think YouTube has for a long time been good at creating brand lift. So even kind of before some of the new targeting options and before some of the new ad options, it was good at getting people to be aware of a product.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
The world of search engines has changed significantly since about 10 years ago, right? Google had been the king for a long time. I believe they started around 1997, 1998, and they've dominated and kind of set the tone for what we think a search engine is supposed to be. But in today's world, if you're in e-commerce, if you're in online business in any way, you have to think about different avenues for search. For example, Amazon is the number one search engine for products at this point. But the number two search engine in the world is also owned by Google, and that's YouTube. For a lot of us, especially those that have been in the online world for a long time, we sometimes just think narrowly about Google because that's what we've always done. But there's a lot of other opportunities where people are actively searching and have that direct intent, and that's going to be YouTube as one of these things that we need to look at. And Joe, I guess you talked to somebody who's really been focusing on YouTube as an advertising channel to be able to acquire customers for business. And he gave you some insights into how to use this channel more effectively.
Yeah, I spoke to Brett Curry from OMG Commerce. I saw him do a presentation specifically on monetizing through YouTube. I guess the best way to explain this is once upon a time on radio, I had a campaign niche model called per inquiry. And we would pay the radio station per inquiry that converted to an actual customer. It's cost per acquisition that we call it now. YouTube has that opportunity now. So Brett really honed in on advertising physical product companies and doing a cost per acquisition. I'm stumbling like crazy here, folks. Sorry. Cost per acquisition on YouTube. It's not something we think of out of the gate when we think of YouTube because we're just watching the latest sports concert, whatever it might be. But people are starting to really use YouTube for searching for products and then clicking that link and converting. There are video opportunities where you only pay if someone watches the entire 30 seconds. That's something else he talked about. But the one that excites me the most is the cost per acquisition model, and he gets into that in detail.
Yeah, I think video is something that all of us need to start opening our eyes to. I think there's just tons of opportunity when it comes to video. And, you know, fortunately, I think it's a little bit intimidating for most of us. And I say fortunately because if you can get over that intimidation, if you can get over some of the worry about, man, this is actually pretty expensive to produce, there is a world of opportunity out there if you can start getting. So I'm excited to listen to this because I've really only just toyed a little bit with YouTube advertising. I haven't actually gone in and tried to understand it fully. So this will be a good primer.
Yeah, it's great. And don't fear the production costs, folks, because some of the best converting videos, according to Brett, are the ones that are actually customer produced. So consider that in terms of presenting on YouTube. That's it. I'm done talking. Let's go see what Brett has to say. Hey, folks, it's Joe Valley with Quiet Light Brokerage. And today I have Brett Curry from OMG Commerce with me on the line. How are you, Brett?
I am doing fantastic, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
You're also a podcaster too, right? You've got a podcast.
Yeah, man. I love podcasting, and usually I'm the one firing off the questions and listening. And honestly, I think listening is the harder job of the two here. So I'm looking forward just to talking up a storm here, talking about YouTube. So
awesome. Well, I want to talk about a whole bunch of things because I think, you know, we met at the, for the folks that don't know, we met at the Blue Ribbon Mastermind Conference in Denver. It's part of, I'm going to get the chain of events here wrong, probably. It's part of the Smart Marketer Group, right?
Yep.
You guys,
yep. Yep.
How long have you been part of that group with Ezra?
Yeah, so I met Ezra Firestone at a Traffic and Conversion Summit event like 6 years ago. It was in San Francisco, so a long time ago. Met Ezra there. He was just launching his mastermind group called Blue Ribbon. And I thought to myself, this is a dude that I need to know. And so we kind of struck up a conversation, joined the mastermind group, rest is history. So yeah, that was, I think that was about 6 years ago, believe it or not.
And I've been going to mastermind groups, and we talk about them here on the podcast, whether it's Rhodium Weekend or e-commerce fuel, things of that nature. Blue Ribbon, right up there for those listening.
Yeah.
If your business is big enough and you've got the revenue, reach out, find Ezra somehow through Smart Marketer, probably, right?
Yeah, smartmarketer.com. Got to consider it. I'm a huge e-commerce fuel fan as well. Andrew Udarian's a friend of mine. I think they do a killer job, but yeah, those two are right up there, man. If you're serious about e-commerce and growing, check out both of those. And you're welcome, Ezra and Andrew, for the plug.
Well, and for those listening, if you're not in a mastermind group or you're a buyer and you think, how am I going to learn all this? It's through these mastermind groups. They didn't exist for me. I sold in 2010, as Ezra was saying. I spoke to him on an earlier podcast. They really didn't exist when you and Ezra started. And now they're available for so many people to get so much more success, I think, than I had at the time. But listen, I want to talk about OMG Commerce. I want to talk about you. You did a presentation at Blue Ribbon Mastermind on monetizing through YouTube, and then kind of blew me away with the specifics of that, and then all the other things that you do around that at your company. We want to talk about that, but can you give us, the people listening, some background on yourself, on your company, and how you started, what you do, and then I want to jump into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So right out of college in 2002, dating myself a little bit, launched a small agency helping local businesses with TV, radio, and print. So kind of traditional old school media. I became a marketing junkie in college, and I was introduced to Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham and some of those kind of marketing gurus, fell in love with the psychology of marketing and kind of fancied myself as a copywriter for a little bit. And so launched this agency, started doing SEO in 2004, and something just clicked, no pun intended. It fit my personality. I liked it. And so I kind of became an SEO nerd, but still thinking about copy and conversion rate and things like that. Then moved into AdWords. And then really things took off in 2012 when I got hooked on Google AdWords. And kind of, we started our agency, OMG. My business partner, Chris Brewer, and I, we started the agency in 2010. In 2012, we kind of got hooked on Google Shopping. I wrote the ultimate guide to Google Shopping after months and months of testing and perfecting things. Shopify published that. And then that kind of helped ignite the agency. And so, you know, since then, been speaking at events like Traffic and Conversion Summit and Ezra's events and Social Media Marketing World and Internet Retail and things like that. And so really the agency is built on driving traffic to e-commerce stores and primarily using Google Ads. So Google Search, the text ads, Google Shopping, Display Network, and more recently, YouTube. I've always been a fan of YouTube. Recent ad types make it much easier to monetize and much easier to track and create measurable results. So doing a lot with YouTube. And then kind of the other side of the business is Amazon, helping companies with their Amazon ads as well. And so, but I spend most of my time in the Google Ads ecosystem.
Well, I tell this story, and I'm sorry for the podcasters that have to, the listeners that hear me repeat this, but, you know, I spent a lot of money on Google Ads and I didn't have any experience. I didn't have any training. Mm-hmm. And I think there are too many people out there doing that were like me. The problem is that I've discovered is that you try someone who claims to be an expert and in fact, they're not. Mm-hmm. And they take your budget and they blow it up and your cost per acquisition goes up and your profit goes down. And you know, this is 6 months before you want to sell, and all of a sudden the value of your business goes down as well. When you got up and presented, I knew first and foremost, because you were at Blue Ribbon, you were going to be top notch. But then I dug deeper. I sat by Chris. We talked for a while, and you talked specifically about YouTube. And I know that you can't do that alone and that you've got to package everything else in there. But some of the things that you talked about were, and I'm going to let you dig into it and tell us about it, some specific fixed targeted cost per acquisition and only paying if somebody views the full 30 seconds and a whole bunch of things that I don't think is out there for the average person that's doing all of the marketing channels themselves to figure out. So tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'll set the stage really quickly if that's cool. Just talking about YouTube in general. And you know, I've been a fan of YouTube forever. And I think it's always been a great content platform you know, everybody's on YouTube, a billion monthly users, average session durations like 40 minutes, which is longer than on Facebook. And the cool thing about YouTube is it's full of a lot of learn, do, and buy moments. So if I'm on YouTube, I'm actively doing something. I'm, you know, looking for how to fix my lawnmower, how to fix my washing machine, although I try to avoid that at all costs and just pay people. But if I'm at a pinch, go to Google or go to YouTube to learn how to do things. Or researching products. That's something that a lot of people don't know, is that YouTube is used as a product search engine pretty frequently, where people are looking for unboxing videos and demo videos and things like that. And so, or just, you know, how to. My kids use YouTube all the time, you know, from everything to how to play the piano to my 16-year-old son now is looking at how to pick up chicks video, which that makes me proud or worried, I'm not sure. But
scared.
So, yeah, you can learn anything on YouTube, right? So when someone's on YouTube, they're actively engaged in what they're doing. And so the beauty of that is you can target people based on what they're doing on YouTube. But then, like you alluded to, now there's these ad formats that just really make it powerful. And so it's kind of a combination now of better targeting than ever before, so we can make sure we're reaching the right person better than we ever have before on YouTube. Everybody's there, but how do we get to the ideal person for a particular e-commerce business? And then how do we have like a bidding and ad format that people want to click on and want to take action on, and we're paying a rate that makes sense? And so that's kind of the backdrop. But yeah, so you talked about only paying if someone engages. That's called YouTube TrueView. And so for those that don't know, that's the pre-roll or before ad. So if you go to YouTube to watch a clip from The Office or something, and then there's an ad that pops up before that or that plays before that, you've got 5 seconds until that magical skip ad button pops up. And so the way that works is if a user skips the ad before the 30-second mark or before the end of the ad, whichever comes first, then the advertiser doesn't pay. So, you know, I could watch 28.9 seconds of an ad, click skip, and the advertiser doesn't pay a penny for that. And so, or someone has to click through to the site. So if they're watching and they think, ooh, this is cool, I'm going to click on the ad and go to the site, then the advertiser is charged for that as well. But really an awesome concept. You know, I used to, in the previous agency days, did quite a bit of TV, and that was my favorite medium before I got, you know, really deep into online marketing, just because of the power of video, right? Nothing sells like video if it's done right. And so, but, you know, if you're running a TV spot, you pay for the spot, regardless of if people walk out of the room or change the channel or whatever. With TrueView, you're only paying if someone watches or engages. So it's pretty powerful.
Well, let's talk about, you know, for the people that are listening that have a physical product, and let's say they're just doing Google AdWords and they wanted to reach out to you. How does it start? How, to me, the idea of producing video, if that's something you've never done, is kind of daunting. How do your clients approach that?
Yeah, it really is. And so this is what separates YouTube from, say, Google Shopping or Google Search Ads, which are just the text ads. You know, a text ad you can create in about 3 minutes, right? You know, or, you know, if you're doing research, you know, it takes you a little bit longer than that, but it's really easy. Google Shopping, the ads are pretty easy. There's just data feed involved or product feed involved, which can be a little bit tricky. But a video, man, that's tougher. Like, you got to hire a video crew potentially. You got to hire an actor, or you've got to be comfortable on camera or whatever. Ultimately, though, you really can, you know, create a video even using an iPhone if you wanted to. But my advice on the video itself is be straightforward first, right? So I think, you know, because we've all grown up seeing ads, we have all kinds of ideas of what works and what doesn't work. So we know the funny Super Bowl commercials that we like, and so we think we need to recreate something along those lines, right? So I need to come up with something like the "What's up, guys?" from you know, Budweiser. I'm a believer in direct response, right? So that's the type of ad we suggest that you run, because most physical product companies, if you're not huge, a pure branding play is going to be tough, right? So you want something that's direct response. And so, you know, I prefer a kind of a straightforward approach, but a couple of things you need to think about is, you know, one, you do need to hook someone immediately, right? So that skip ad button comes up in the first 5 seconds. So hook them immediately. So what are you going to say? What question are you going to ask? Are you going to be like running up to the camera? Are you going to be doing something interesting to make someone say, okay, I was going to skip, because I don't like ads, but there's something about this that I need to watch. So hooking them in the first 5 seconds is key. I believe you got to lead with the strongest benefit. So what is the benefit that your product provides? Is it time savings, or is it status, or you know, what is that major benefit? And then dramatize that, bring that to life, even if it's just you talking and showing the product, right? So that's important. I think you also got to incorporate some social proof. So do you have a testimonial? Do you have an endorsement? Do you have something, you know, are you endorsed by somebody that is trusted by your marketplace? You know, some kind of social proof. And I think in kind of part of this, you want to show, don't tell, you know, a talking head video can work, but you want to show as much as you can. And there's a few other things to consider too, that we don't necessarily have to get into, but things like, you know, guarantee, so removing the risk. What are the risks that someone has in their head before they buy? So, you know, if you're selling apparel or footwear or something, what if it doesn't fit? You know, then what do I do? So overcoming some of those objections, you know, in the video is important. And then a really strong call to action. So like, hey, what do I want you as the viewer to do next? If you leave that open, this is just crazy to me. You know, most people think, well, it's a compelling ad, people will naturally click. Not necessarily. Like, you kind of have to ask them to, right? Like, go here, get this free shipping code, or check out this, or watch this further demo, or join our email list to get a discount, something, some kind of call to action. And then push people to do that. And the nice thing is there's some new ad formats that really make those CTAs or calls to action pop. But that's just a kind of a few of the things that make for a good video. But I admit it, making a good video is much harder than other ad formats. It just is.
Through your agency, do you guys have referral programs or people that you say, okay, these guys have done a good job, and you refer people to agencies? Or do you find that the entrepreneur is creative and ingenuous and can create a video on their own and make it work?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we're seeing now a handful of our clients are hiring full-time video people because they're creating product videos. So video can be useful in a lot of ways, right? In different types of video. So maybe I just have a pure product demo video, and I put that on all my product detail pages. And then I'm cranking out little short clips for my Facebook advertising. And then I'm launching, you know, maybe YouTube content that I try to get to rank organically. And then I'm running YouTube ads, and I've got someone creating that. So surprisingly, like, this is something that I don't think existed with the size of companies we're working with now, you know, kind of the 2 million to 10 million a year and up, really up to probably 20 million is kind of a lot of our clients are in that range. Those companies now have full-time video people, which is
okay.
So there are a few agencies I could recommend. We don't do any of the creative work ourselves, but I can make recommendations.
So let's go with that assumption then, that, you know, the client has video, has access to it, or produced their own. Mm-hmm. Why YouTube though? Why, like, when I go and I search it, like I did a search today on how to export a profit and loss statement from Xero, because that a client said it can't be done. And I've seen it done. I get them all the time. I'm like, yeah, well, let me find a video. So I did that, and I sent it to him. I skipped the Quiet Light Brokerage banner ad because I really don't need to click on it.
Yeah.
But it never really occurred to me to buy through YouTube. So what people know, that when you do sponsored ads inside of Amazon, or you spend money on Google AdWords or Facebook, that there's going to be a certain volume you can get to and return on investment. Is it worth it to advertise on YouTube? I know there's a billion viewers, but how many people are really thinking product? And
yeah,
you know, is it worth it? Bang for the buck, should people be paying attention to advertising on YouTube?
Yeah, the quick answer is absolutely. And this is one of those answers that even just probably 2 years ago, my answer would have been a little bit different. It kind of would have been a maybe. Like I said, YouTube's always been a powerful platform. Like, if you're a good content creator and you created good content that got organic traffic, I think YouTube's always been a good source for growing your business. But from an ad platform, I believe it's just become viable for a lot of businesses. I would say most e-commerce businesses should consider it. And that's a relatively new development. So yeah, aside from everybody being on there, and aside from, you know, people being actively engaged, where, like, you know, you're looking at how to pull a report from Xero,
Xero.
So how to pull that report, you know, if there had been an ad related to something like that maybe would have captured your interest, maybe not. But you can target people based on what they're doing on YouTube, plus much more. So, you know, of course, YouTube is owned by Google. And so now you can target people based on their behavior that Google sees even off YouTube. So, you know, one of the options you have is keyword targeting. So, you know, if I've got a new zero alternative, so better than QuickBooks, better than Zero, whatever, I want to woo people over to my new accounting software, which sounds like just the worst job in accounting software. But anyway, we'll roll with it.
I fall asleep often, yes.
Exactly. I think I just fell asleep as I was mentioning it. But so then I could choose keyword targeting, and I could target people looking for Xero and QuickBooks Online and QuickBooks Online tutorial. And maybe I would even target things like, why is QuickBooks doing this? Like some pain points around QuickBooks, you know, like QuickBooks keeps crashing, things like that. So those are some of the things people type in to YouTube trying to find a fix. Well, then if I've got the alternative to Xero and QuickBooks, then I run my pre-roll ad for somebody watching a video on how to fix a pain point inside of QuickBooks, right? So there's this keyword targeting that's based on content on YouTube, which is really powerful. But then going, what I alluded to a minute ago, you can also target people based on what they're searching for on Google, right? So I think it'd probably be a toss-up, like who has more information about you, Google or Facebook? I don't know, really. They both know everything about us. And so I don't know about you. My search behavior on Google is different than it is on YouTube. Often if I'm going to YouTube, I'm just watching music videos and stuff like that, like sometimes in the background even. You know, but I search on Google for all kinds of stuff. So then you can target people on YouTube based on what they're searching for on Google. So if I sell, you know, running shoes, I can look at a whole host of search terms that someone may be typing on Google, and I can build an audience around that and then target those users the next time they're on YouTube, which is
so it sounds like if someone is doing any paid advertising on Google, whether it's AdWords or Google Shopping or whatever it might be, that they need to think of YouTube as just what it is, which is an extension of Google. They're owned by Google. It is Google.
Yeah.
And all those same tools and resources are there. But you just got to think visually. So it's really the last couple of years you started to see, you know, your advertising work better and get Google's getting better at it to allow you to do a better job.
Exactly.
Can you give me an example without naming any client names on in terms of what it's done for them so that somebody doesn't go, oh, wow, okay.
Sure.
And what other channels within Google they're also spending money on?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'll kind of mention this first. I think YouTube has for a long time been good at creating brand lift. So even kind of before some of the new targeting options and before some of the new ad options, it was good at getting people to be aware of a product, right? So we'll use Boom by Cindy Joseph because Ezra wouldn't mind if I talk about it. And we run all of the Google ads for Boom. But, you know, if we ran YouTube ads introducing people to Boom, let's just say we had no call to action or anything at the end, which we wouldn't do that. But let's just say we did. That would likely cause a brand lift. Like more people would start searching for Boom on Google after watching the video. They would be intrigued and say, oh, what is this? Let me check out a little bit more. And so that's always been kind of the platform or always been a benefit, you know, of the platform. But then kind of beyond that, the next thing I would recommend someone do is look at using YouTube for remarketing. So for people that visit your site, whether they go to a product detail page only or whether they add to cart and abandon, let's remarket to them, right? So let's use YouTube as a remarketing platform. And so that's something we've been doing for a while as well, you know, taking our remarketing lists, like you alluded to, all of this is built in the Google Ads platform. And it's now rebranded as Google Ads, not Google AdWords. But so it's all in that platform. So we can upload our remarketing list. We can start segmenting that and running, you know, YouTube ads to those people. So we typically segment breakout site visitors, breakout PDP viewers, breakout cart abandoners, and kind of have different ads that we run for them. But then kind of beyond that, we're looking at a new format called TrueView for Action. And you kind of mentioned this before too, this is where you're bidding on a CPA basis. So basically what we're doing is we're telling YouTube, hey, I'm willing to pay X, I'm willing to pay $100 or $80 or $50 or whatever for a conversion. And over time, YouTube gets really good at dialing that in. So if you give YouTube the right audiences to go after and you have a video that's powerful, over time, the machine will start hitting that CPA target, it provided your site converts as well.
True.
So as
Google
an example,
did you call it Google TrueView?
It's TrueView for action. So it's a subset of TrueView, right? So you could just run standard TrueView, which is the ad format I talked about before, where someone has to watch 30 seconds or the whole video or you don't pay. So that's kind of standard TrueView. With standard TrueView, you're paying a cost per view. So you're telling Google, I'm willing to pay 5 cents, 2 cents, 20 cents per
view. Yeah, risk. There's risk there, but it sounds like the TrueView for action is, look, you're not going to pay unless it converts, which is...
Yeah, exactly.
But is there volume there?
There's immense volume. And that's one of those things where we've seen people, you know, be able to scale pretty quickly. So with Boom by Cindy Joseph, you know, it went from not even really a channel to a pretty large channel quickly. And we were able to start kind of dialing in and hitting their CPA target within a couple of weeks and been able to sustain that now for several months.
What happens in the first 2 weeks when if you're doing TrueView for action, aren't you always hitting that CPA target?
No, so you're not. You give Google the CPA you want to hit and you set a daily budget.
Okay.
But the machine is experimenting in the beginning. And this is something where this is a little bit different than, let's say, Facebook ads as an example. I know, and I'm not a Facebook ads guy. I don't run our Facebook even, but I know there was kind of this thought that with Facebook ads, you know, you build a bunch of different ad sets and you let them, you know, each one spends $30. If it doesn't convert, you know, kill it, whatever. Really start pruning quickly. That doesn't work on YouTube, not with TrueView for action. You need to give the machine time to learn. So you're maybe going to be letting it run for 7 or 10 days. Obviously, you could pause it if nothing's happening. But usually that CPA, it's going to be above the CPA initially, and then it's going to start getting closer and closer to it. So we've found, again, with the right video, the right targeting, you can usually hit your CPA target, you know, if you let the machine kind of dial in.
Okay. And you guys don't do any of the Facebook stuff. You're focused on most of the Google platforms, and then you do the Amazon platform as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
And is it because that you integrate the Google Shopping, YouTube ads, Google AdWords, PPC, whatever they've rebranded it, you integrate them all together?
Yeah.
Do they play off each other? Is it Google's gotten to the point where is it intelligent enough to pull resources from one to the other to help improve cost per conversion?
Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the things that the Google just really stepped their game up in the last couple of years, in the last 6 months even, is audience targeting. So being able to apply some of those audiences even to your search campaigns and a few of the audiences to your shopping campaigns. But it is all connected, because if you think about it, if I'm in product research mode, if I'm looking at buying a new, let's say I'm buying a new ceiling fan, we just bought a couple new ceiling fans for our house. And maybe I'm researching on Google, then maybe after I find a few things, I'm going to YouTube to watch a video, some unboxing videos or installation videos. Now I'm going back to Google, right? And so what you can do if you've got all of the campaigns set up and kind of part of a full funnel approach or a team of campaigns, you know, we're not viewing search and shopping and YouTube as these completely separate entities, but how do they work together? Because they do, right? So you know, if someone finds us on search or shopping but they don't convert, then let's use YouTube as the remarketing vehicle. If someone discovers us on YouTube and they watch a video and they become engaged with us but they don't purchase, well, then let's add them to a remarketing list and target them with search and shopping ads, because maybe someone learns about your brand on YouTube, they don't buy, their next activity is going to be, I'm going to go to Google and search. I'm going to go search for this company now or find out more. And so we can target them that way. So that's another piece we look at, is we create a list of people that have viewed a video as an ad, and then we layer that into our search and shopping campaigns. And we've seen this, let's just go back to the Boom by Cindy Joseph example. We even created some campaigns where we only target people that have seen a video ad. And a lot of those people then go back to Google and they can't really remember the brand name, right? They remember seeing the video or whatever, like something's caught their attention. So they're typing in a bunch of random things like you know, makeup for older women or you know, things that would have been mentioned in the ad. And then we're able to target them because we built a list of people that viewed the video as an ad, but they actually converted them through a search or shopping campaign. So if we just think about it, if we kind of step back and just think about our own journey, like what's my journey as a buyer? I rarely just click on one ad and buy, right? I don't just see one ad for a brand new product I've never heard of and purchase immediately. That doesn't happen. I'm usually going to search for something, be exposed to it, click around, visit, then see another ad and then convert. So we like to get all the campaigns kind of working together and connected.
So let's say that someone is managing their advertising campaign themselves. And business is getting big enough to, they want to elevate themselves to more of the captain of the ship instead of navigator, if you will, instead of just focusing on one part of it, like the marketing. Are there resources out there to learn everything you need to learn about for the Google Ads platform within Google and outside of it? Or is it simply your, you know, 20 years of expertise that, and what, staff of 17 that allow you to be better than any Tom, Dick, or Harry that's going to try to do it for their own business?
Yeah. So, I mean, there is a learning curve, and I think the learning curve is a little steeper with Google Ads than it is other platforms, potentially. It's one of those things where learning the basics is not that complicated, but then seeing how everything interacts and how one change leads to other, you know, implications is a little trickier. So there's a little bit of a learning curve, but there are some good resources. So on the Google Shopping side, I wrote the Ultimate Guide to Google Shopping a few years ago. Shopify published that's totally free.
Do you have to update that on a regular basis? Is it changing?
Yeah, I just updated it like a year ago, and I need another round of updates. The core of it's still good, but needs to be updated.
Okay.
I'm working on a course with Ezra Firestone. We launched the beta version on all of Google Ads. So it kind of starts with,
let's build out the foundation
of Google Ads.
That's what I was looking for. And I didn't know that, for anybody listening, I didn't know that, by the way. Because, you know, look, some people are going to be hesitant to work with an agency. And, you know, historically, I've been anti-agency, although I owned one. I owned a media buying agency specifically for radio back in the day.
Yeah.
And my experience is, as an agency owner, is that you're going to work really, really hard because you want that client to keep spending money because you get a percentage of that money that you spend. So you want them to be successful. But as an e-commerce owner, my experience was, God, they blew it. My gosh, my cost per acquisition went way up. Everything is destroyed. They're not paying any attention to anything that I said. But what you did and what you presented was great and different. I wasn't going there, but thank you for going there. So you've created a course on the Google Ads platform with Ezra, which will be done when?
So probably by the time it's launched in September of 2018 is when it will launch officially. So
it
should be available here pretty quick.
So people can find that probably on smartmarketer.com, right?
Smartmarketer.com.
And OMG Commerce, I would assume as well?
Yeah, we'll have some links to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's assume that a certain group of people are going to be like, I'm never working with an agency, and they'll go over and they'll find that there and they'll get that expertise and training, which is exactly, you know, what I want. I want people to get the best advice and expertise.
And one thing I would maybe add to that is, like, I would recommend that everybody get educated, at least to a certain degree. Like, even if you plan on outsourcing it or hiring internally for it, learn the basics of the platform, learn how everything kind of ties together, because then you'll be able to analyze, does this agency I'm interviewing, do they know what they're talking about? Is this person that I'm hiring, do they know what they're talking about? So I think as a business owner, you got to educate yourself at least on the basics and kind of see how, you know, the full funnel works and things like that. But you don't have to hire an agency. You can hire someone in-house and train them up, and that could be great for some businesses.
Unless they quit.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Good to be diversified a little bit.
I agree. Well, listen, Brett, I appreciate it. I appreciate your time coming on here. Just sort of unraveling the mystery of YouTube, because again, to me, I've never thought about buying something there. Now that we've talked and I saw your presentation, it's every time I'm seeing an ad, and I've actually watched a few, which is interesting, but I haven't clicked through to buy yet. And I think that that's going to change. And I think that if people get ahead of it and start learning it now and being one of the early adopters of advertising on YouTube, they'll get ahead of the curve, like those that focused on Facebook first.
Exactly. And I think it's, you know, I think Facebook's going to be a viable ad platform for the foreseeable future. I think YouTube is going to be as well. But I would liken where YouTube is now to where Facebook was a few years ago, you know, where it's pretty affordable to be on YouTube. Those costs will go up over time as more people hop onto the platform, but it's a great place to be. And yeah, we've seen, you know, from skincare to apparel to automotive to, you know, tech, all those verticals in e-commerce are getting good results on YouTube. So yeah, it's worth exploring for sure.
Fantastic. So YouTube is today where Facebook was a few years ago.
I think so. Yeah.
Good way to end it. All right. Yeah. Well, if for anybody that does want to talk to you, I think they can find you at omgcommerce.com. Is that right?
Yep. Omgcommerce.com. Happy to chat. Happy to do an audit potentially of existing efforts and let you know how we could potentially help. So yeah, omgcommerce.com.
We'll put that down in the show notes. And if this is out before the course is done, we'll go back and we'll put it in the course after the fact so that those that just want to learn on their own and maybe bring it in-house can learn from that as well.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds awesome, fantastic. Man.
Thanks for your time, Brett. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Really appreciate having me on.
Talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.